Tamam ve şüpheli Kristus tabi teleşim hadi bakı durante sonu teyzer sori di rigor anu kusale ve verseyse sanya varita skati tezitare Om Ganati Mananda Siyal Jana Jana Sivakaya Saksu Sumeru Chayin Jaina Tasmaya Sri Gurvena Maha Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jina Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Nagati Sapandantikam Manchika Patrivascha, Kripasindu Bayevacha, Patitram Pavanevio Vaishnavevio Namonama. Sutta Goswami said, O best of the Kurus, Maharaj Prickett, the demigods and demons summon Vasuki, that made their agreement, their truce, their compromise, their armistice, that they would give up their enmity so that they could churn the ocean of milk, as the Lord had requested, to produce amrita, or nectar, which would grant them immortality. They both had their plans, how they would use the strength of the other and then get the nectar for themselves. So they summoned Vasuki, as the Lord had suggested, to be the rope, to act as the rope. Vasuki is a great serpent, be the rope used for the churning. And the hill was brought there, the churning rod, Mandara Hill, that the rope would be wrapped around, was already brought there by the Lord when the demigods and the demons were crushed beneath its golden weight. So they promised, they requested, they summoned Vasuki, king of the serpents, requesting him to come and promising to give him a share of the nectar. Summoned Vasuki to tie the children up with him. Oh, excuse me. They coiled Vasuki around Mandara Mountain as a churning rope. And with great pleasure, they endeavored to produce nectar by churning the ocean of milk. Now, why were they experiencing great pleasure? Because when one is working to get someone that one is something that one is thinking is going to give him great enjoyment, the work itself becomes enjoyable, even though it's such hard work, laborious work, actually painful. But in the beginning, one is thinking not of the work, but what one is going to achieve. And that is what fruitive work is. Very different from Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is when the work itself is pleasing. Why is the work pleasing? Because it is being done with consciousness of Krishna for His pleasure. Yat kurovasi rasna si yat joho si tadati yat. Krishna may give fruit, Krishna may give no fruit. But in either case, the work itself is the offering because it is performed with devotion. So with great pleasure, with Vasuki coiled around Mandara Mountain, they endeavored to produce nectar by churning the ocean of milk. The personality of Godhead, Ajita, so he also joined. He had carried it. Then he joined in the churning. He grasped the front portion of the snake. And then the demigods followed, grasping that front portion. Now what did the demons think? Immediately, they're taking the front. That means we have to take the behind side, the tail? No, 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 no. This isn't proper. We are so much better than them. They're relegating to us the inferior part, the tail part. This is not acceptable. If they want the front, we want the front. Text 3 describes this. The leader of the demons thought it unwise to hold the tail, the inauspicious portion of the snake. Instead, they wanted to hold the front, which had been taken by this personality of Godhead and the demigods, because that portion was auspicious and glorious. Thus the demons, on the plea that they were all highly advanced students of Vedic knowledge and were all famous for their birth and activities, protested that they wanted to hold the front of the snake. It's Prabhupada's purport. The demons thought that the front of the snake was auspicious and that catching hold of that portion would be more chivalrous, more suitable for them. Moreover, daityas, demons, must always do the opposite of the demigods. That is their nature. We have actually seen this in relation to our Krishna consciousness movement. We are advocating cow protection and encouraging people to drink more milk and eat palatable preparations made of milk. But the demons, just to protest such proposals, are claiming that they are advanced in scientific knowledge, as described here by the words Svadhyaya Shrutasampanna. They say that according to their scientific way, they have discovered that milk is dangerous and that the beef obtained by killing cows is very nutritious. This difference of opinion will always continue. Indeed, it has existed since days of yore. Millions of years ago, there was the same competition. The demons, as a result of their so-called Vedic study, preferred to hold the side of the snake near the mouth. The Supreme Personality of Godhead thought it wise to catch hold of the dangerous part of the snake and allow the demons to hold the tail, which was not dangerous. But because of a competitive desire, the demons thought it wise to hold the snake near the mouth. If the demigods were going to drink poison, the demons would resolve, why should we not share the poison and die gloriously by drinking it? This is the nature of the envious competitive mentality. In regard to the word Svadhyaya Shrutasampanna Prakyata Janma Karmabhi, another question may be raised. If one is actually educated in Vedic knowledge, is famous for performing prescribed activities, and has been born in a great aristocratic family, why should he be called a demon? The answer is that one may be highly educated and may have been born in an aristocratic family, but if he is godless, if he does not listen to the instructions of God, he is a demon. There are many examples in history of men, like Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, and Kamsa, who were well educated, who were born in aristocratic families, who were very powerful and chivalrous in fighting, but who, because of deriding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, were called Rakshasas or demons. One may be very well educated, but if he has no sense of Krishna consciousness, no obedience to the Supreme Lord, he is a demon. That is described by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita. Namam duskritino mudha papadyante naradama mayaya aprita jnana asuram bhavam ashritaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Asuram bhavam refers to not accepting the existence of God or the transcendental instructions of the Personality of Godhead. Bhagavad Gita clearly consists of transcendental instructions imparted directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But as sure as instead of accepting these instructions directly, make commentaries according to their own whimsical ways and mislead everyone without profit even for themselves. One should therefore be very careful of demoniac, godless persons. According to the words of Lord Krishna, even if a godless demon is well educated, he must be considered a mudha, naradama, and mayaya apita jnanam. Jnana. So the demons wanted the head of the snake where Jita had taken it. And the demigods were grasping in the churning. Thus the demons remained silent, opposing the desire of the demigods. So they grasped their end and the demons stood there, not taking the tail. Seeing the demons and understanding their motive, the Personality of God had smiled. Without discussion, he immediately accepted their proposal by grasping the tail of the snake, and the demigods followed him. That's called reverse psychology. He knew whatever side they wanted, that they would take, they would want that same side. After thus adjusting how the snake was to be held, the sons of Kasyapa, both demigods and demons, began their activities, desiring to get nectar by churning the ocean of milk. O son of the Pandu dynasty, when Mandara mountain was thus being churned as a churning rod in the ocean of milk, it had no support. And therefore, though held by the strong hands of the demigods and demons, it sank into the water. Because the mountain had been sunk by the strength of providence, the demigods and demons were disappointed, and their faces seemed to shrivel. Their plans had failed. They had put the mountain and they were working hard. And then the mountain fell down into the water the ocean of milk, because it was, after all, made of gold, which is heavier than stones and rock mountains. And then everyone became disappointed. What will happen? But fortunately, this was the plan proposed by the Lord. So the Lord had carried the mountain, carried the demons, carried the demigods. Then he had assisted the demigods in the churning. And now, when the mountain had sank, he would again come to the rescue. Seeing the situation that had been created by the will of the Supreme, the unlimitedly powerful Lord, whose determination is infallible, took the wonderful shape of a tortoise, entered the water, and lifted the great Mandara mountain. Prabhupada's purport. Here is evidence that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme controller of everything. As we have previously described, there are two classes of men, the demons and the demigods. But neither of them are supremely powerful. Everyone has experienced that hindrances are imposed upon us by the supreme power. Everyone, think now, take a moment and think. If their life is hindrance-free, they want to do something, even in Krishna's service, are there hindrances? There must be. But the devotees see, just as Prabhupada said, that the hindrances are imposed upon us by the supreme power. How does a demon see it? The demons regard these hindrances as mere accidents or chance. But devotees accept them to be acts of the supreme ruler. When faced with hindrances, therefore, devotees pray to the Lord, Tateinu kampam susamikshamano bhungane vapma kripa vipakam. Devotees endure hindrances, accepting them to be caused by the supreme personality of Godhead and regarding them as benedictions. Demons, however, being unable to understand the supreme controller, regard such hindrances as accidental. Here, of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present personally. It was by His will that there were hindrances. And by His will, those hindrances were removed. The Lord appeared as a tortoise to support the great mountain. Chitiriha viputala tarare tavatatashti priste. The Lord held the great mountain on His back. Keshavadrita korma sharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Dangers can be created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they can also be removed by Him. This is known to devotees, but demons cannot understand it. Continuing, text 9. When the demigods and demons saw that Mandara Mountain had been lifted upon the back of Korma, the Lord's incarnation as a tortoise, they were enlivened and encouraged to begin churning again. The mountain rested on the back of the great tortoise, which extended for 800,000 miles, like a large island. So how from one side of Australia to the other, how many miles is it?
2,000 miles.
How many?
2,000.
Three or four? Huh?
Yes. Kilometers or miles?
Oh, miles. Oh, we have to use our converters here. I know from the east coast of to the west coast of the United States is 3,000 kilometers. Huh? Excuse me, miles. 3,000 miles. Yes, 3,000 miles. Korma, the great tortoise, extended 800,000 miles, like a large island. We could even say a very large island. O king, when the demigods and demons, by the strength of their arms, rotated Mandara Mountain on the back of the extraordinary tortoise, the tortoise accepted the rolling of the mountain as a means of scratching his back, and thus he felt a pleasing sensation. So here, quite amazing, how something that's impossible for demigods to achieve, something that's impossible for demons to achieve, can be easily achieved by the Lord and get the pleasure of that one, of the scratching of the back from it. So something insignificant and mildly pleasing. So how great God is. So when he comes, even as a tortoise, he performs activities that are so incredibly great. Someone could say, how could he come as a tortoise? And then what's the answer? If he wants to come as a tortoise, how are you going to stop him? You can go over to him and say, I'm sorry, you're not God. God, you're maybe God, but you're not allowed to come as a tortoise. Who can say that? Thereafter, Lord Vishnu entered the demons as the quality of passion, and the demigods as the quality of goodness, and Vasuki is the quality of ignorance, to encourage them and increase their various types of strengths and energies. So the demons and the devotees and the snakes, they all work by different energy. Sometimes we can, I have the experience, I want to get something done. So I sort of get all excited. First my mind becomes excited, and then I begin to work hard in a specific way on it. And move myself into the mode of passion to get something done. That is the way that the demons work. But the devotees, and really it was present in Prabhupada, he would do something, he would work very, very hard and be so effective, but there was no passion involved. It was the most incredible thing. There was no passion involved. Everything was sweet, gentle, and could be started, and then when it was time to stop, stop immediately, do something else, the thing that was next required. No passion. And as Prabhupada said, devotees generally act in the mode of goodness. Dutiful action is in the mode of goodness. So the Lord, another interesting point, is there, Krishna was underneath the hill. He had carried it, he was underneath it, it was his plan. And now, it was his energy. Not all divine energy in one sense, although everything is ultimately divine. Daivi ishi gunamayi mama maya gratya daivi, divine energy. But these gunas, they're enlivening each of the participants in their own way. But that was all the Lord doing it. So practically speaking, he's doing everything. And yet, everyone is participating, thinking that they are the ones doing it with their own plans. The demons are working, impelled by passion, fruitively, desiringly. But that's Krishna's energy, thinking as soon as we get the nectar, we'll attack the demigods who we had just defeated anyway. So we are strong, they are weak. And then we will take the nectar and not give them anything. Prabhupada's purport. It was Krishna doing everything, even though everyone is thinking themselves as doing. Purport. Everyone in this material world is under the different modes of material nature. There were three different parties in the churning of Mandara Mountain. The demigods, who were in the mode of goodness. The demons, who were in the mode of passion. And the snake Vasuki, who was in the mode of ignorance. Since they were all becoming tired, Vasuki, so much so that he was almost going to die, Lord Vishnu, to encourage them to continue the work of churning the ocean, entered in them according to their respective modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Then, manifesting himself with thousands of hands, the Lord then appeared on the summit of Mandara Mountain, like another great mountain, and held Mandara Mountain with one hand. In the upper planetary systems, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, along with Indra, king of heaven, And other demigods offered prayers to the Lord and showered flowers upon him. So he was below it, the mountain, on top of the mountain. He was entering each of the participants with the power, and he was doing everything, basically. Here's Prabhupada's purport. To balance Mount Mandara Mountain while it was being pulled from both sides, the Lord himself appeared on its summit for the purpose of not so it wouldn't tilt to one side or the other, like another great mountain. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and King Indra then expanded themselves and showered flowers on the Lord. So if you read this verse carefully, you'll notice that the Lord was on top of the mountain, like another great mountain, and yet he was holding Mandara Mountain with one hand. So he was on the top and holding it. So how is he holding it and on top? So there could be many answers to this. One is he was just holding it as opposed to steadying it. That's one answer. He was holding it as opposed to holding it up. He held Mandara Mountain with one hand to steady it. I asked if there were any comments. I asked Gopi Pranandana Prabhu if there were any comments on this by the Acharyas, and here's what he said. Srila Jiva and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura have only short comments on this verse. First, note that the word akramya from the verse, akramya, yes, akramya, catching, doesn't literally mean holding up, but climbing, he said. This is what that akramya means also climbing. The commentaries, because I was wondering how he could be holding it up on top, so he says climbing. The commentaries say nothing about the phrase akramya hastena, but I presume it means that the thousand-armed Lord used one of his hands to help him climb to the top of the mountain. Or he was holding on. He was holding on it maybe to steady it. Jiva Goswami says that the demigods expanded themselves into multiple forms. Lord Shiva was thus present both in his own Kailash and in the sky. And Indra and the other demigods were present both on the shore of the milk ocean and in the sky. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura says that Lord Vishnu is present above the mountain in his 1,000-armed form and below it as Lord Tortoise. Text 13. The demigods and demon worked almost madly for the nectar, encouraged by the Lord who was above and below the mountain, who had entered the demigods and demons. So he was everywhere doing everything himself. Entered the demons, the demigods, Vasuki, and the mountain itself. Because of the strength of the demigods and demons, the ocean of milk was so powerfully agitated that all the alligators in the water were very much perturbed. Nonetheless, the churning of the ocean continued in that way. In this way, rather. Vasuki had thousands of eyes and mouths. From his mouths, he breathed smoke and blazing fire. He was so tired and about to die. Which affected the demons, headed by Paloma, Kaleya, Bali, and Ilvala. Thus the demons, who appeared like sharal trees burned by a forest fire, gradually became powerless. Because the demigods were also affected by the blazing breath of Vasuki, their bodily lusters diminished. And their garments, garlands, weapons, and faces were blackened by the smoke. However, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, clouds appeared on the sea, pouring torrents of rain, and breezes blew, carrying particles of water from the sea waves to give the demigods relief. So Krishna had done everything, and there was a problem. And there he was solving the problem. When he wants something done, when God wants something done, it shall be done. When nectar did not come from the ocean of milk, despite so much endeavor by the best of the demigods and demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ajita, personally began to churn the ocean. The Lord appeared like a blackish cloud. He was dressed with yellow garments. His earrings shone on his ears like lightning, and his hair spread over his shoulders. He wore a garland of flowers, and his eyes were pinkish. With his strong, glorious arms, which award fearlessness throughout the universe, he took hold of Vasuki and began churning the ocean, using Mandara Mountain as a churning rod. When engaged in this way, the Lord appeared like a beautifully situated mountain named Indranila. The fish, sharks, tortoises, and snakes were most agitated and perturbed. The entire ocean became turbulent due to the churning. And even the large aquatic animals like whales, water elephants, crocodiles, and timangila fish, which are large whales that can swallow small whales, came to the surface. While the ocean was being churned in this way, it first produced a fiercely dangerous poison called halahala. O King, when the uncontrollable poison was forcefully spreading up and down in all directions, all the demigods, along with the Lord himself, approached Lord Shiva, Sadashiva, feeling unsheltered and very much afraid, and sought shelter of him. Purport. One may question that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead was personally present, why did he accompany all the demigods and people in general to take shelter of Lord Sadashiva instead of intervening himself in this connection? Srimad Bhattacharya warns the Sanskrit verse. Lord Vishnu was competent to rectify the situation, but in order to give credit to Lord Shiva, who later drank all the poison and kept it in his neck, Lord Vishnu did not take action. Because ultimately, Lord Shiva is guna avatar. That means that the potency of the Lord has entered within him. So that is what is, in one sense, the essence of Lord Shiva's being, is the Lord. So now the demigods are going to pray to Lord Shiva, requesting him to save the situation. But actually, practically speaking, they're going to pray to him that part of him which is the Lord's empowering energy. So therefore, practically speaking, they're going to pray to him as if he was the Lord. So the demigods observed Lord Shiva sitting on the summit of Kailash Hill with his wife Bhavani for the auspicious development of the three worlds. He was being worshipped by great saintly persons desiring liberation. The demigods offered him their obeisances and prayers with great respect. The Prajapati said, we'll speak to Lord Shiva as if he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of that his power actually comes from Lord Vishnu. So the Prajapati said, O greatest of the demigods, Mahadev, supersoul of all living entities and cause of their happiness and prosperity, we have come to the shelter of your lotus feet. Now please save us from this fiery poison which is spreading all over the three worlds. Since Lord Shiva is in charge of annihilation, why should he be approached for protection, which is given by Lord Vishnu? Lord Brahma creates and Lord Shiva annihilates. But both Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are incarnations of Lord Vishnu and are known as Shaktivesh avatars, meaning that Avesh means entered. So they're guna avatars, but also Shaktivesh means that the Shakti has entered. Has entered them. The Lord Shakti has entered them. Generally known as guna avatars too. They're endowed with a special power like that of Lord Vishnu, who is actually all-pervading in their activities. Therefore, whenever prayers for protection are offered to Lord Shiva, actually Lord Vishnu is indicated. For otherwise, Lord Shiva is meant for destruction. Lord Shiva is one of the Ishwaras, or controllers, known as the Shaktivesh avatars. Therefore, he can be addressed as having the qualities of Lord Vishnu. Text 22. O Lord, you are the cause of bondage and liberation of the entire universe, because you are its ruler. It's just like when a man is speaking at the United Nations. A man is representing United States or Australia or France or Uruguay or any country, South Africa or some country. So if that representative is disrespected, the people in the country become insulted. Or when he votes yes for a particular act or no, the country is voting. Because he's not acting in his own capacity as a person. He's acting with the energy of the country. He's empowered to do so. And people will take his words seriously as much as they take the country seriously. And they see the country manifesting through him. So similarly, the demigods are praying to Lord Shiva. O Lord, you are the cause of bondage and liberation of the entire universe because you are its ruler. Those who are advanced in spiritual consciousness surrender unto you, and therefore you are the cause of mitigating their distresses, and you are also the cause of their liberation. We therefore worship your lordship. Purport. Actually, Lord Vishnu maintains and accomplishes all good fortune. If one has to take shelter of Lord Vishnu, why should the demigods take shelter of Lord Shiva? Same point is being discussed quite a few times by Srila Prabhupada. They did so because Lord Vishnu acts through Lord Shiva in the creation of the material world. So when the person, the ambassador, says no, it is the government saying no. It is the country saying no. Lord Shiva acts on behalf of Lord Vishnu. When the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 14.4 that he is the father of all living entities, aham bija prada pita, this refers to actions performed by Lord Vishnu through Lord Shiva. This is the glance of the Lord by which he impregnates the material world. Aham bija prada pita, this is called Shambhu. This is described in the Brahma Samhita. So this glance, it's the Lord's glance. So one way to say, to think, is that, what has impregnated the universe? You can say that it is Lord Shiva has done it. Because indeed he has. But he's the instrumental cause. While the ultimate cause is the Lord. Because it's his glance. That is Shambhu or Shiva. When the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 14.4 that he is the father of all living entities, this refers to actions performed by Lord Vishnu through Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu is always unattached to material activities, and when material activities are to be performed, Lord Vishnu performs them through Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is therefore worshipped on the level of Lord Vishnu. When Lord Vishnu is untouched by the external energy, he is Lord Vishnu. But when he is in touch with the external energy, he appears in his feature as Lord Shiva. The same but yet different. O Lord, you are self-effulgent and supreme. You create this material world by your personal energy, and you assume the names Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwar when you act in creation, maintenance, and annihilation. Prabhupada's short purport. This prayer is actually offered to Lord Vishnu, the Purusha, who in his incarnations as the Guna avatars assumes the names Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwar. You are the cause of all causes, the self-effulgent, inconceivable, impersonal Brahman, which is originally Parabrahman. You manifest various potencies in this cosmic manifestation. So these sections, when someone is worshipping Lord Shiva as if he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they'll say, see, even the demigods accept Lord Shiva as the Supreme Lord. And even Ajita is with them. Even your Vishnu is with them. So that encourages them in their worship of Lord Shiva and the following of him. But yet, the actual meaning is given here, and it's clear, actually. You are the cause of all causes, the self-effulgent, inconceivable, impersonal Brahman, which is originally Parabrahman. This is text 24. You manifest various potencies in this cosmic manifestation. Purport. This prayer is offered to the impersonal Brahman, which consists of the effulgent rays of Parabrahman. Parabrahman is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitam, Paramam Bhavan. When Lord Shiva is worshipped as Parabrahman, the worship is meant for Lord Vishnu. Therefore, sometimes heads of states, in the same way, when they go to another country, they're given gifts. So is the gift meant for them, or is it meant for the country? Because they're there as a representative of the country. So the governments nowadays, they have laws that gifts over, that are worth over a certain amount, they belong to the country, and anything that's really little you can keep. Because the man, because he's if he went by himself, no one would, just without any power, he wouldn't be shown the same respect in any way. So the respect that's given to him, again, this is the point, is meant for Lord Vishnu. Oh Lord, you're the original source when he's respected as Parabrahman. Oh Lord, you're the original source of Vedic literature. You are the original cause of material creation, the life force, the senses, the five elements, the three modes, and the Mahatattva. You are eternal time, determination, and the two religious systems called truth, satya, and truthfulness, rita. You are the shelter of the syllable Om, which consists of three letters. O Father of all planets, learned scholars know that fire is your mouth, because previously we had heard the demigod Lord Brahma praying to Lord Vishnu and saying that we are dependent on you. You are in this form as fire, and we are dependent on you. The moon, we're dependent on you. Water, we're dependent on you. You're causing life. So here, it's showing that Lord Shiva is worshipped in this way. It's actually worship of Vishnu. That's already been described, how Vishnu is the actual source of these things, and he's the one that ultimately is, that we are dependent on. Which shows that when a quality is manifest through another person, and we appreciate that quality, a power, or something that we rely on, so we can talk to that person and thank him for that, but ultimately the thanks is meant for Lord Vishnu, for God, for Krishna, because he is empowering. That's an energy that we're appreciating through that person. So all praise is ultimately meant for the Lord. Learned scholars know that fire is your mouth, the surface of the globe is your lotus feet, eternal time is your movement, all the directions are your ears, and Varuna, master of the waters, is your tongue. O Lord, the sky is your navel, the air is your breathing, the sun is your eyes, and the water is your semen. You are the shelter of all kinds of living entities, high and low. The god of the moon is your mind, and the upper planetary system is your head. O Lord, you are the three Vedas personified. The seven seas are your abdomen, and the mountains are your bones. All drugs, creepers, and vegetables are the hairs on your body. The Vedic mantras, like Gayatri, are the seven layers of your body, and the Vedic religious system is the core of your heart. O Lord, the five important Vedic mantras are represented by your five faces, from which the 38 most celebrated Vedic mantras have been generated. Your Lordship, being celebrated as Lord Shiva, is self-illuminated. You are directly situated as the supreme truth known as Paramatma. O Lord, your shadow is seen as irreligion, which brings about varieties of irreligious creations. The three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are your three eyes. All the Vedic literatures, which are full of verses, are emanations from you, because their compilers wrote the various scriptures after receiving your glance. O Lord Girish, in the name of Lord Shiva, since the impersonal Brahman effulgence is transcendental to the material modes of goodness, passion, ignorance, the various directors of this material world certainly cannot appreciate it or even know where it is. It is not understandable even to Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, or the King of Heaven, Mahendra. When annihilation is performed by the flames and sparks emanating from your eyes, the entire creation is burned to ashes. Nonetheless, you do not know how this happens. What then is to be said of your destroying the Daksha Jagya, Chipurasura, and the Kalakuta poison? Such activities cannot be subject matters for prayers offered to you. Prabhupada's short purport. Since Lord Shiva considers that great acts he performs to be very unimportant, what was to be said of counteracting the strong poison produced by the churning? The demigods indirectly prayed that Lord Shiva counteract the Kalakuta poison which was spreading throughout the universe. This is easy for you, they're saying. This is not even subject to praise. Just like when a powerful man, a great weightlifter, is walking along and he sees a stick on the road and he picks it up and pushes it away. No one says, "Oh, you are so great that you picked up this stick with your hand and pushed it aside." No. Because it is so insignificant for him, not worthy of being praised. When he does something great, then you praise him. So they're saying, this is nothing for you, which is a subtle way of saying, why don't you please do it? Not even difficult. It's not difficult for you to save us. Please save us. We are requesting you. Exalted, self-satisfied persons who preach to the entire world, think of your lotus feet constantly in their hearts. However, when persons who do not know your austerity see you moving with Uma, they misunderstand you to be lusty. Or when they see you wandering in the crematorium, they mistakenly think that you are ferocious and envious. Certainly they are shameless. They cannot understand your activities. Because all the activities done by Lord Shiva, what to speak of Lord Krishna, are glorious. One may implant one's own mental conception on those activities, just like when one sees Krishna dancing in the middle of the night with the gopis. One may say, "Oh, how could he do this improper thing? We know all about the kinds of people who do that, dance with women in the middle of the night." But it's just implanting their own minds upon him. But rather, whatever Krishna does, the great Ishwaras, the great powerful personalities, it's not judgeable by people, because people only judge by their own minds. Prabhupada explains in his purport, Lord Shiva is the topmost Vaishnava, Vaishnavanam Yatashambhu, from the 12th canto of the Bhagavad Gita. It is therefore said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyena Bhujaya. Even the most intelligent person cannot understand what a Vaishnava like Lord Shiva is doing, or how he's acting, what is impelling him to act, or what the meaning of the action is. Too deep. Those who are conquered by lusty desires and anger cannot estimate the glories of Lord Shiva, whose position is always transcendental. In the activities associated with lusty desires, Lord Shiva is an implement of Atma Rama. Ordinary persons, therefore, should not try to understand Lord Shiva and his activities. One who tries to criticize the activities of Lord Shiva is shameless. Text 34 and then 35, which is the final of the prayers to Lord Shiva. Even personalities like Lord Brahma and other demigods cannot understand your position. For you are beyond the moving and non-moving creation. Since no one can understand you in truth, how can one offer you prayers? It is impossible. Can't understand the limits of your potency, so how can we describe you properly and praise you properly? Like a child sees his weightlifter father pick up that small stick and that he can't pick up. So he says, "My father is so great that he can pick up a stick." He doesn't know the capacity of his father. He can't actually properly offer prayers and praise. It is impossible. How can one offer you prayers, they say. As far as we are concerned, we are creatures of Lord Brahma's creation. Under the circumstances, therefore, we cannot offer you adequate prayers. But as far as our ability allows, we have expressed our feelings. The greatest of all rulers, speaking to Lord Shiva in text 35, your actual identity is impossible for us to understand. As far as we can see, your presence brings flourishing happiness to everyone. Beyond this, no one can appreciate your activities. We can see this much and nothing more. So they're saying,
All we know about you, Lord Shiva, we can't praise you properly, the extent of your glories, but all we can say accurately is that your activities bring pleasure and happiness to everyone. And since we are, what's not said is, since we are in great distress due to the poison, why don't you please allow us to flourish and bring us happiness as well by removing the poison. So they're indirectly asking Lord Shiva to fulfill their desires. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, Lord Shiva is always benevolent toward all living entities. When he saw that the living entities were very much disturbed by the poison which was spreading everywhere, he was very compassionate. Thus he spoke to his eternal consort Sati as follows. Lord Shiva said, my dear Bhavani, just see how all these living entities have been placed in danger because of the poison produced from the churning of the ocean of milk. It is my duty to give protection and safety to all living entities struggling for existence. Certainly it is the duty of the Master to protect his suffering dependents. People in general, being bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are always engaged in animosity towards one another. But devotees, even at the risk of their own temporary lives, try to save them. And we'll read one line from Prabhupada's purport. He says, this is the characteristic of a Vaishnava. One line, but a strong and heavy one. This is the characteristic of a Vaishnava. Para dukkha dukhi. A Vaishnava is always unhappy to see the conditioned souls unhappy. So not only unhappy to see the unhappiness, but also actions, risky actions, risking his own welfare to help others. So a Vaishnava therefore is honored greatly. My dear gentle wife, Bhavani, when one performs benevolent activities for others, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is very pleased. And when the Lord is pleased, I am also pleased, along with the other living creatures. Therefore, let me drink this poison, for all the living entities may thus become happy because of me. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, after informing Bhavani in this way, Lord Shiva began to drink the poison, and Bhavani, who knew perfectly well the capabilities of Lord Shiva, gave him her permission to do so. Thereafter, Lord Shiva, who was dedicated to auspicious, benevolent work for humanity, compassionately took the whole quantity of poison in his palm and drank it. Prabhupada's short purport. Although there was such a great quantity of poison that it spread all over the universe, Lord Shiva had such great power that he reduced the poison to a small quantity so that he could hold it in his palm. One should not try to imitate Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva can do whatever he likes, but those who try to imitate Lord Shiva by smoking ganja and other poisonous things would certainly be killed because of such activities. A great admonition, a warning. Don't take intoxicants with the excuse, oh, Lord Shiva took them and I follow him. He's being worshipped by great personalities like the demigods. I want to be a follower of Lord Shiva, so I'll do this. No, no. Will you take the poison then? No. If one imitates Lord Shiva where one shouldn't, one will come to ruin. As if in defamation, this is text 43, the poison born from the ocean of milk manifested its potency by marking Lord Shiva's neck with a bluish line. That line, however, is now accepted as an ornament of the Lord, and therefore he is called Nilakanta, means blue throat. It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. We'll read that purport, but we'll read the final two verses which don't have purports, then we'll go back and read that purport. Upon hearing of this act, everyone, including Bhavani, the daughter of Maharaj Daksha, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and the people in general, very highly praised this deed performed by Lord Shiva, who is worshipped by the demigods and who bestows benedictions upon the people. Scorpions, cobras, poisonous drugs, and other animals
whose bites are poisonous, took the opportunity to drink whatever little poison had fallen and scattered from Lord Shiva's hand while he was drinking. So they also became poisonous in this way. So read that very interesting purport from Prabhupada to text 44. The verse said, undergoing difficulties or suffering for the pleasure of voluntarily doing this is a method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's offering Him your suffering in service. So a wonderful way to look at the difficulties that come to everyone, to accept them as an offering to the Lord, and offer them, accept them as your karma, and then offer them in His service by serving Him. Purport. Here is an explanation of how those engaged in activities for the welfare of others are very quickly recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:68-69, Yaidam paramam guyam madbhakteshu vidasyati nachatasman manusheshu kastin me priyakuttamam. Parts of those two verses. One who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita to my devotees is most dear to me. No one can excel him in satisfying me by worship. There are different kinds of welfare activities in this material world, but the supreme welfare activity is the spreading of Krishna consciousness. Other welfare activities cannot be effective, for the laws of nature and the results of karma cannot be checked. It is by destiny, all the laws of karma, that one must suffer or enjoy. For instance, if one is given a court order, he must accept it, whether it brings suffering or profit. Similarly, everyone is under obligation to karma and its reactions. No one can change this. Therefore, the Shastra says, Tasyaiva hetu prayateta kovido nalabhyateena yad brahmaratam upayada. One should endeavor for that which is never obtained by wandering up and down the universe as a result of reactions of karma. What is that? One should endeavor to become Krishna conscious. If one tries to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he should be understood to be performing the best welfare activity. The Lord is automatically very pleased with him. If the Lord is pleased with him, what is left for him to achieve? If one has been recognized by the Lord, even if he does not ask the Lord for anything, the Lord, who is within everyone, supplies him whatever he wants. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Tesham nityabhayuktanam yoga chemam vaham yaham. Again, it's stated here. Tapyanti loga tapena sadava prayasujana. The best welfare activity is raising people to the platform of Krishna consciousness, since the conditioned souls are suffering only for want of Krishna consciousness. The Lord Himself also comes to mitigate the suffering of humanity. Yada yada hidamasya gane bhavati bharata abhyutanam adamasya tadatmanam tridam yaham paritranaya sadunam vinasaya tadaskritam dharma samstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, or descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, Krishna says. I advent myself millennium after millennium. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, 7 through 8 verses. All the Shastras conclude, therefore, that spreading the Krishna consciousness movement is the best welfare activity in the world. Because of the ultimate benefit this bestows upon people in general, the Lord very quickly recognizes such service performed by a devotee. So that is the end of the seventh chapter. And if Krishna allows, tomorrow we shall read chapter 8, which is entitled The Turning of the Milk Ocean. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Lord Shiva ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.